exactly. But we praise you that that day came for all of us who are saved here, that Jesus saved us, washed us clean by his shed blood, a gift from your hand and from his. Father, we are so grateful and so thankful for that glorious day when we were transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of your dear Son. We follow him now, and we are here today loving him and worshiping and serving him, desiring to be used of him. And Father, we wish to hear the word today. We're looking to the message to see what you would say from there as well as from the songs we sing. Your word tells us we sing to glorify you and we sing to build each other up in Christ in our faith. Father, it is a joy to be here. Thank you for each heart who is here. And we pray that your spirit, as he always does, will meet the need of each person, whatever that need is. If there's exhortation needed, that it will happen. If we need to be rebuked, that happens sometimes. We pray that we would be open to receive it from your hand and to repent of whatever it is we need to turn from so that we can be back on the right path with you. And Father, we praise you for whatever you have for us, to learning, growth, encouragement, strengthening, all of these things. We know you love us because your Son died for us. And so we pray that with wisdom, with faith, we will hear what you have to accomplish in each of our hearts today. Father, thank you for this hour, and we commit it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's turn to hymn number 356.
Well, this morning we're looking in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. It's an exciting book, the book of Acts. You know, thinking about all that happened in the early church and how God blessed in such a marvelous way. Acts chapter 4 and verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, Sadducees, came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it should spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom the miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which has made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, how we praise you and thank you for your wonderful word. And we can almost sense the excitement going on here in the book of Acts with all that you were doing in that day, with the Spirit of God so evident and so present. Oh God in heaven, we pray once again that your Holy Spirit might have his way in our lives, in our hearts, in our services, that they wouldn't just be dry and formal, but that we might truly love you and serve you and follow in the way that you would have us to go and do your will in all things. And we pray that we might see great and mighty things happening even in this day. Lord, that your will might be done. We pray, dear Father, today for our church. We just thank you for each and every one who so faithfully attends, and pray your blessing upon each one of us as we live from day to day, that we might shine as a light in a dark place, that we might be able to help others to come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. We think of our loved ones and friends and family members, neighbors that do not know you. Pray that you'll give us a heart that is burdened to reach out to those who need Christ and to see them come to know you. Thank you for every opportunity that we have. And we pray your blessings upon us. We pray for our missionaries today. We ask you to be with them in a special way and guide them and help them as they serve you in various places around the world. We just thank you for the opportunity that we have to help support some of them. We do pray for James March today as he's speaking in another church. We pray that you'll fill him with your spirit and give him the wisdom to speak forth your word, and pray that your holy will might be accomplished. We think of those, dear Lord, who are so sick. We pray for them. We ask you to undertake for them. We heard this morning in Sunday school from a number that are very ill, and we pray that you'll undertake for them and touch and heal them according to your will. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for your will to be accomplished in everything that we do, and that the Lord Jesus would receive all the glory and praise. May your will be done, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's turn once again to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. We're looking here at faithfulness under pressure. Notice what happened here. You remember the story, Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, as they told us last week. And there was this beggar sitting there by the beautiful gate waiting for someone to help him with an alms, with some money. And Peter and John come and they said, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have we give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And sure enough, he got up and had the strength to be able to stand on his own and went into the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And a beautiful picture. Think of that. This man, as we read this morning, who was above 40 years old, he had never walked in his life. He had never had that wonderful privilege that we all have. But here we find, now that he has come to Christ and received this salvation, I believe that he had faith to believe here and went into the temple for the first time in his life, because you weren't allowed to go in if you were crippled. So now he's set free from all of that. His life has been transformed. Now, a beautiful picture, sort of like those who come to Christ, come out of their sin and into a new life. It's wonderful to realize that Jesus takes away all of our sins and gives us eternal life. Wonderful, wonderful picture here that we see. But then we find opposition sets in. This is called the first persecution, they say here. They were there speaking. Peter was ministering to the people, and as they spake, it says the priests, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees, they all came to see what's happening and to exert their authority. These were the leaders, the cream of the crop, if you will, among the leadership of Israel, the Sanhedrin. 70 or 71 people that were in charge. And they all come together here, the police and all the rest, you can imagine. And you can just see the fear that struck Peter and John. Did you see that? Did you see how afraid they were as these people came against them? I don't see anything about that, do you? No. It says that they faced them without any fear. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so they come and investigate, trying to figure out what's going on here. Something unusual has happened in the temple. And so they come and lay hands on them, put them into arrest, into jail for the night, and then to be tried the next day. And we see this concern that they have here. The Sadducees, of course, are upset because Peter is preaching about Jesus coming forth from the grave. They knew he died, yes. He died on the cross, but they didn't want to hear about him coming forth from the grave, you see. And so they are very, very upset about this. And yet it says here in verse 4, "Howbeit many of them who heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So, we don't know how many there were all together. It particularly points out here that this was this many men. 5,000. Now, I'm not sure. I think it means that there came to be about 5,000 men. There were 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, another 2,000 here probably, and then all of the others. How many women were there? I have no idea. But anyway, we see that God is moving in a mighty way here among these people. So they put into prison, and the next morning they bring them out. And it says all the rulers, the elders, the scribes, all these people, the high priests are there, Annas and Caiaphas, and all their relatives, John, Alexander, and all of these people, they're all present to interrogate John and Peter, and causing them to give their testimony. So they set them down and they put them in the middle. You know, you can imagine. They had to be filled with the Holy Spirit or they would have been scared to death, I would think, wouldn't you? How would you like to be sitting in the middle of all of these antagonists? These people who are wanting to question you about your faith in Christ. My, how hard that must have been. And yet, there's nothing said of that. It says, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, verse 8, said unto them, ye rulers of the people, elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed, notice he points out, the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Wow. Man, he didn't mince words at all, did he? He said, you crucified him, but God raised him from the dead. Right? And he is the one who has healed this man. We didn't do it. We don't have the means to do it. It's through faith in the name of the Lord Jesus. And here we find they're facing this opposition, the persecution from these people. And Jesus had warned the disciples that this was going to happen. If you'd like to look back in John chapter 15, we find Jesus giving them this warning in John chapter 15, verse 20. He says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other men did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in the law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time comes that whoever kills you will think that he's doing God a service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. So Jesus had warned the disciples that this was coming, and now the persecution has arisen. They are being called into question about the message that they are bringing. And so they had to appear here before this committee and give an account of what they had done. And no doubt they thought that they would be intimidated, but obviously They were not, because God was there to see them through all of this, and they could boldly, courageously speak forth the word of God, as Peter says here very clearly, that as they were able to proclaim the word. Notice what they say here. They first of all asked him something, just like Jesus. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Notice in verse 7. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Just like they asked Jesus back in Matthew 21. By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? See? Where do you get your authority to do this? Well, you remember Jesus had given it to them, hadn't he? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And bring them to myself. And see them baptized and following me. Obeying the word. This is the authority that they had. And Peter speaks forcefully, saying, yes, we have this authority. It is given to us by our Lord and Savior. Peter is not intimidated, at least, in the least bit. And he's filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, this is what Paul says later on. He says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. See? And this is what we all need in order to be able to stand up against the oppression, persecution of those who disagree with us and who are determined to shut us up. He says, no, he's filled with the Holy Spirit and he's able to speak forth the word of God. He magnifies the Lord Jesus and gives him all the glory for this good deed that was done. You know, it's amazing to me to think about these people here. They saw what was happening, right? They saw this man that had been lame for 40 years. Now he's perfectly whole. And you would think that they would rejoice in that. Why would they not rejoice? This man's life has been transformed, you know. He's a new person. And yet instead of that, they're trying to figure out some way that they can punish these men for speaking about Jesus. They are not concerned about the individual. They don't care that he has been healed. And it's just amazing to see that they cannot deny it. I mean, it's plain as the nose on your face, right? Here it is. And yet they find a way around it to try to shut up these men. And we find here that he boldly declares without hesitation that Jesus is the one that they have rejected. And he is now the exalted head of the church. Right? He's the one who has given the authority to preach the gospel and to proclaim his word. He is the head of the church. And here in verse 11, it says, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. He's quoting from Psalm 118, verse 22, where it speaks of that, the stone that the builders rejected is now the capstone. He's the main one. And he's the head of the corner. And notice this verse 12. How many ways of salvation are there? Notice. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Boy, that's pretty close, isn't it? I mean, how much clearer can it be? You know, Jesus had said, I am the way, I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Peter says here, there's no salvation in anyone else except him. That's the only name. We can't look to anyone else that could possibly save us. He's the only one who was able to save us. Without sin, he offered himself as a sacrifice to take away our sins, that we might be set free, that we might have everlasting life. And here, Peter proclaims this very, very clearly, that he is the only Savior that there is. Don't look anywhere else. There's nowhere else to look, because he is the only one who is able to take away our sins and to give us eternal life. Notice here the decision that they make, the judges, beginning in verse 13. It says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, something they were not expecting, of course, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Think of that. Now, Peter and John were fishermen, right? You remember? They were all fishermen, and they lived their lives. They went to synagogue and all of this, but they never studied in the prestigious schools and so forth. That they had no theological degree or anything like that. He says they were unlearned and ignorant men. They didn't have the knowledge. And yet, how can they possibly proclaim this message? He says they were surprised. And then they realized that they had been with Jesus. What an education that would be, right? They spent 3 years or more with Jesus, going about, listening to everything he had to say, being in fellowship with him continually. And oh yes, now, they might have been ignorant in some ways, but they certainly were not ignorant in that way. Jesus Christ had taught them well and prepared them for this moment when they were able to proclaim his name. So, we find here the judges don't know exactly what to do. They were shocked by the courage of the apostles, first of all. And they didn't know how to consider them. And they looked at the man. In verse 14, beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Here's the evidence right here, right? It's right there to see. Everyone could see it. All the people standing around. There's no way they could condemn these men, because it was obvious that they had done this wonderful deed. And they did it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they concluded here that they couldn't do anything about it. And they said, verse 16, what shall we do to these men? Notice, now wouldn't you think, with all the evidence that they had there before them, they saw, hey, this is the real deal. You know, there must be something really here. God is moving. God is working here. We have to repent. We have to, you know, turn from our sins, realize that we made a terrible mistake. But we don't read anything about that, do we? No. They said, I don't know what we're going to do. It's obvious that some great miracle has been done. But what are we going to do about it? Well, let's just tell them not to say anything more about it. Does that make any sense at all? You know, there's people today that know the truth. They've heard it over and over and over again. But they continue to go the other way, don't they? They want to do their own thing. They don't want to submit themselves. They don't want to commit themselves to Christ. And yet, he is the only way of salvation, right? So we have here, they're wondering what to do. It says, verse 17, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. See? They're still determined to quiet them down. Oh, let's don't disturb the people. Let them continue on believing what they believe, and, you know, don't cause waves. Don't cause problems. Let's let people just be comfortable in what they believe. Oh, we're all good. Like Steve read something this morning on about these people, all these different kinds of people that have all different ideas. Oh, we're all wonderful, right? We're all awesome. Awesome people. Living in our sins. And he says here, no, we need to do something about it. They call them, verse 18, commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. And what does Peter say? Peter and John. Apparently both of them speaking here now, right? And they said unto them, you think about this. Is it better for us to obey you or God? What do you think about that? Who should we obey? You know, God has told us to go and proclaim the name of Christ, that he is the way of salvation, and that people need to receive him in order to have eternal life. That's what God told us to say. Now you tell us not to say anything. Who are we going to obey? Here's he saying, whom should we hearken? Unto you more than unto God? He says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now, doesn't that make sense? You know, if you've seen something, you've an accident or whatever it is, and you're obligated to give the what happened, you're not going to make up something else, hopefully, and tell a different story. He says, no, we cannot but speak what we've seen and heard. We know that this is the truth. So anyway, it says that they further threatened them, and they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. But God was with them to bring glory to his name. So we find this first persecution went very well, didn't it? It gets worse later on, we know. But here in the beginning, the authorities didn't know what to do with these men. And rather than accept their message, they tell them, oh, no, just quiet down and don't say anything more. Don't tell anyone about Jesus. They said, we can't do that. We're going to go and proclaim the message. And so they let them go. And so they go back to prayer, to the prayer meeting. United prayer I've got here. Notice what it says, verse 23. Being let go, they went to their own company. Back to the people that agreed with them, you see. Those that could have fellowship with. And they reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard that, notice what they did. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and sea and all that in them is, and so forth. Here we find they lifted up their voices to God. This is the reaction of those who know and love the Lord, right? Right away they went to prayer and recognized the true nature of God. Who is he? He's the creator. He's the one who has made all things. He's the one who has provided everything that we need, and has given the victory over this persecution. So we find here the church praying, lifting up their voices to the Lord, and rejoicing in all that he has done for them. He goes on to quote here what something David said. He says, David said, "Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ." This is taken from Psalm 2, where it says, "He that sits in the heavens will laugh." God will laugh at them because they are seeking to deny the obvious truth. And here he says, "Against your holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together." So they're all together guilty of denying Christ, of crucifying him. It points out the Jewish leaders, the king of Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, the Gentiles over there, the Romans, the people of Israel, all gathered together against Christ. And they did their worst. But notice in verse 28, this is interesting. "For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." There's God's part, right? Now, we might not always fully understand everything that we have here about the sovereignty of God and the sinfulness of man. And yet it works together, doesn't it? And God had already said that Christ was, in his mind, was sacrificed before the foundation of the world. He knew all this was going to happen, and it happened right according to plan. So even though these people desired to do harm to Jesus, instead they did the plan of God and what he had in order to do good to human beings, because Jesus took our sins upon himself and died in our place that we might have his salvation. He's the one who suffered and bled and died that we might have life, that we might have all that we need in him. So we find this is God's part in it. He had already determined what's going to be done. But now they cry out to him in verse 29. It says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." I think this is a good prayer for anyone even today, right? There are many places in the world where persecution is so rampant and people are forced to take a stand. And it could happen anywhere, right? It could happen here. And we need to cry out to the Lord. Say, "Lord, you see what's happening. Help us to speak forth your word and accomplish your will no matter what. Stretch forth your hand to heal. Do signs and wonders. The Lord is able. By the name of your holy child, Jesus." And it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together." Isn't that amazing? God says, "Amen," right? The whole place shook. It's like over in later on in Acts when Paul. When Paul and Silas were together there in Philippi, you remember? And they were singing at midnight and praising God and all of this. And all of a sudden everything just started shaking. earthquake came and opened up all the jail cells and everything, right? God came and opened up the way for them. The Lord is real. He's here. And he says, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. You see? That's what we need, isn't it? The fullness of the Holy Spirit of God enabling us to speak forth his word without fear and in boldness. And this is the prayer that the early church had, and the prayer I believe that we need so much. So these believers demonstrated faithfulness under pressure. They knew that persecution was coming, and they needed the strength that comes only from God. And we today should pray in the same way. We desperately need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives in order to be the witnesses that Jesus wants us to be. He says, speak forth the word of God. Allow the Lord to fill us and use us for his glory. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. And we pray, help us to be bold. Fill us with your spirit. Make us what you want us to be. Lord, you know so often we are fearful and we fail. But we pray that you will help us and strengthen us and enable us, that we might stand firm and strong upon your word no matter what, and honor you and follow you. We pray for those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might come to know him today. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.